Okay, I just noticed, Pastor John, that we have a very special couple arrived back in church. So I thought I might just mention them. We might give a big congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Brendan and Haley Mahaffey. So just over there, put their hands up, guys. Just 2 weeks married, so which is awesome. Well, it's a great pleasure this morning to introduce to you a lady who is a wonderful speaker. She is a psychologist by trade. She is a pastor's wife. She is a mother. She is a grandmother of quite a few. Seven. And she'll tell you about them, I'm sure. But most of all, she is a wonderful, godly woman and a wonderful friend. And we want to introduce you to Mrs. Leanne Folley. Thank you.
Oh, so it's a bit nostalgic being here today. This is home for us. This is where was home for so long, and we just always felt at home in our church here at Tin Can Bay. And wherever we go, people get sick of us talking about at Tin Can Bay. And so, you know, if you meet anyone that's ever lived at Tin Can Bay is always on the map once you leave Tin Can Bay, because everybody has to hear about it, because it's such a great place to be, isn't it? There's nowhere else in the world quite like Tin Can Bay. And so it's exciting to see how changed the church is. And that's what God does, doesn't he? He brings about change. He's in the people-changing business, and he grows us. So it's a bit exciting to be here on Mother's Day. And I think that it's a celebration of all women. You know, because not all women have children, but we all have mothers. So every single one of us has a mother. But even women that don't have children, they still have that nurturing that God put in their hearts, haven't they? You know, that, you know, you might not get to mother little people of your own, but all women mother somebody. They've either had a brother or a husband, or a partner, or a father. They get to mother people. They've had a boss. Often, you know, all the women that are the PAs to their boss? Well, those bosses would never survive without the woman beside them. So today's not just for people who've had babies and become mothers that way. It's a celebration for all women. We don't want to leave any women out. So if you've been blessed or not blessed to have children, but blessed in other ways, then I want you to feel part of being a woman today and feeling special, because no woman is left unspecial by God, you know. So today I've called my sermon Some Say, because I thought, you know, as women, we love to chat, don't we? We love to have a cup of tea, hang out with each other and just chat. And when we chat, you know, women's conversation is a bit circular. Men can't keep up. Sorry, guys. It's just not a skill God gave you. It's a special skill for women to be able to chat. And we start here and we go there and then we go here and then we're back here and then we go here and here and here and here and here and here and then we end back here. And then we kiss and hug and we go home. And we go home and our partners or our family say, so what did you talk about? Stuff. Stuff? Everything. We solved the world's problems. We solved our own problems. We solved our friends' problems. And we know everything about everybody now. Everything we know. And so we form opinions about people because of what someone else has said. So we look in our Bible today and we're going to see what the Bible says about Some Say. If you say it quickly, Some Say. It sounds a bit sort of like some sort of secret ancient wisdom. Some Say, like Confucius say. So Some Say. So it sounds like we're going to have some wise thing revealed to us. Well, I guess we are, hopefully, that God will speak to us through his word today. So we've already had the scripture read to us that I've chosen to talk about today, but I'm just going to read you a little bit. And my Bible, I usually use electronic, and my phone was dying, so I had to borrow a children's Bible to read out of it. So sorry about that. But anyway, it sounds pretty much the same. I think I have to stand over this side because the little thing's making a noise. So let's just read Matthew 16, 13 to 15. I'll read first. Jesus went to the area of Caesarea Philippi. He said to his followers, "I am the Son of Man. Who do the people say I am?" They answered, "Some people say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So then Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" But they were talking about "some say." So some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say one of the prophets. And so when we read that down here a couple of thousand years later, we think, how could they not know he was from God? You know, he was born in a manger and the wise men came and he's doing miracles. Surely they know. But these people were looking for a Messiah and they were expecting him to be different to Jesus. And so a lot of people wouldn't have actually met Jesus in person. So it would have just been the rumour mill. You know, they would have been hearing about the stories about Jesus, and those great Chinese whispers would have been rife, some say. And so they would have been having cups of tea or whatever, I don't know, prune juice or whatever they drank in those days, wine, maybe that sounds good, wine. And they would have been talking about Jesus. And they would have been kind of thinking about what they knew that the scriptures had said from what the Pharisees had taught. So their information was incomplete. They had bits of information. So they kind of made up the rest probably. I don't know if you've ever done that, but we play this game sometimes when we're a bit bored and we go out and we're our family and or Neil and I and we're a bit bored, sick about talking to each other, sick of talking about ourselves. So we kind of make up stuff. So we see a family or some people sitting over there and we go, "What do you reckon their story is?" And we just make it up. It's a bit of fun. You should try it. It's not true. There's nothing true in it, but we just make it up and have a bit of fun, see what we can come up with. It's never mean. It's always nice. It's just a bit of fun. We make up stuff. When we don't have the complete picture, we add stuff to it. We often identify people by what others say, or by a particular trait or a situation. And so the people of Jesus' time were no different. And it's no different these days, probably. If we go out and we ask people, who do you think Jesus is? Then we'd get a myriad of answers, wouldn't we? Some of them would say that, you know, he was a prophet. Some might say, some religious nut back then. Some say he's simply just a historical character who's become a legend or a folk story. But some say he's the saviour. What do you say? Who do you say Jesus is? In my job, I often have the opportunity to talk to people about, you know, what's going on for them spiritually, even if they don't profess to be a Christian or whatever. It's part of who we are as people. What we believe or what we don't believe affects how we live our life and affects our mental health as well. And so I often get to talk to people about what they believe. And sometimes I get to ask them, "Who do you think God is?" And they say, you know, I'm just thinking of a couple of people recently that I've seen, and a beautiful young woman who grew up in a Christian family, a Baptist Christian family, back in Brisbane somewhere in a church, and she's gone out on her own now, and she's saying, "Well, you know, I don't really think I believe in the God that my family believes in. I don't think I really believe in those Sunday school stories and stuff like that." And I said, "Okay, you know, what do you believe?" And she said, "I don't know. I think I just believe that, you know, if you're good and, you know, because, like, yeah, if you're good, then everything will be good and it'll all work out." But she was sitting in my office, so, and she was a pretty good person, and everything wasn't kind of working out for her. So it kind of wasn't really true what she believed. It didn't add up. And we talked a bit more, and I said to her, have you ever gone and tried to figure out who God is for yourself? You know, forget what the Sunday school teachers taught you. No offence, Sunday school teachers, great job, good job. We do a good job in Sunday school. But, you know, there comes a time when you've got to get that Bible out, or you've got to sit in a quiet spot down at the beach or up on a hill or out in your backyard and go, God, who are you? Who are you? And we've got to figure that out for ourselves. We've got to find out who God is for ourselves. We've got to find that out. And, you know, I just have to share this quick little story, really happy heart moment. I don't know what that young woman's going to figure out for herself. But a couple of years ago, I had a young man, 17, came in, good, solid Christian family, you know, and he'd grown up with this wonderful, genuine Christian family, you know, and he's going, oh, I don't believe that crap, you know, and he'd gone, that'll try this, and we'll try that, and he's going like, I don't believe that crap, I hate their friends, hate the people they made me play with when I was a kid, and he just hated it. And I said, yeah, it's pretty hard, hey, when you feel like your parents make you do stuff you don't want. Yeah. And anyway, so we did our stuff over a number of weeks, months, probably nearly a year, really. I'm a bit slow. I'm not very good. It takes me a long time to help people get fixed. But anyway, we did our stuff, and he stopped taking drugs and stuff like that. And then we'd had this challenge. Well, who do you think God is then? Who do you think God is? How about you go and figure it out? And so he kind of did. And he came back to he didn't come back to me because he needed to see me. He just rang me up and he said, well, he texted me because kids don't ring up, they text. He texted me and said, hey, Leanne, can we have a chat? And I went, oh, okay, I haven't done a very good job here. He's got to come back. Okay, so he came back and he said, guess what? I became a Christian. Like, how cool was that? God did that because he went and found out who God was for himself. He wasn't listening to the some say anymore. He wasn't listening to mum and dad because him and dad were different and they used to fight a bit. Both great guys, but they just clashed a bit. So he wouldn't listen to what dad had to say about God. And so he had to find out who God was for himself, and he did. And he went away to uni down south somewhere, and I was thinking about him, and I texted him and said, how you going? We had our little secret chit-chat, and one of our little secret codes was tracky pants, because that was a code for, are you staying away from certain types of things? And I said, you know, how's the tracky pants going? He goes, no tracky pants, on track, God's great, I'm getting there. How cool is that? He found God because he looked for him. He didn't listen to the some say, he found God. I don't know where I am now, but let's go on. Jesus said, I wore uncomfortable shoes. I always promise people that I wear, well, they're not really uncomfortable, but I tell people that, so that I don't stay up here too long. And Neil always sits there watching the clock and goes at me, so don't worry. He'll do that. And we'll get there. So let's just have a quick read of 15 to 17. And it says, then Jesus asked them, and who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. No person taught you that. My Father in heaven showed you who I am. Don't listen to the some say. Figure out, who do you say God is? Who is Jesus to you? Jesus wanted to know who they thought he was. Now, it wasn't like, well, I don't know. I actually don't know what Peter's journey was to, you know, getting across that line of knowing who Jesus was. You know, I don't think that he went to a tent and the preacher said, look, if you know who Jesus is, come up here and we'll pray for you. And I don't think he crossed the line like that. I think what happened, from my understanding of reading the scripture, is that Peter was journeying with Jesus. He was close to him. He had a relationship with him. You know, he knew him. He wasn't like just this person that he went to and saw talking to the crowds and breaking some bread up and feeding lots of people with it, even though they were great miracles and great things to see. He didn't just see that. He saw who Jesus was all the time. He knew who he was because he spent time with him. He got to know him. It wasn't like he's a great teacher. He knew Jesus under pressure. You know, he saw what Jesus did when he was under pressure. He took himself off and had a little bit of time out. He saw that stuff. You know, so he knew Jesus and he knew there was something different. And he was connected with him and he had a relationship with him. And he knew who God was. And so he could see that this was no ordinary person. This was the Christ, the Saviour. You know, we don't know a person immediately we spend time with them. It's when we spend lots of time with someone, when we see them under pressure, when we see them in all different circumstances, that's when we get to know their heart. But so often, we think that we can define a person by just a trait or a situation. And we think that we can judge a person by that. And we do, don't we? I mean, you know, us girls, we sit around, we have coffee and we have cake and we talk about people and we make judgments. You know, I had, we moved into a different house. It's not a new house by any means, it's old and we're renovating and it's got some walls now, that's good. But we moved into this new neighbourhood anyway and, you know, we're meeting the neighbours and it's a lovely neighbourhood, we love it. And I was talking to one of the neighbours and she was giving me the lowdown on all the neighbours and she's saying, oh, and this person, they've got kids and they're really nice and that person's so-and-so and that person, oh, you don't see them very much, they work and this and that. And that lady, she's lovely, but, oh, she talks a lot and you can't get away from her when she talks. And so I find myself with that lady. I've not actually met her or talked to her. I just smile and wave and keep going because I've made this judgment, of some say. And it wasn't really until I was actually doing this message that I was thinking and a bit convicted about that I probably need to make more of an effort to have a conversation with that lady because I judged her character on what some say. I don't know. I don't know. Who do people say you are? You know, maybe some say you're the busy one. The beautiful one, the nice one, the cranky one, the stressed one, the helpful one, the capable one, the generous one, the sporty one, the slim one, the fat one, the bald one. Who do they say you are? You know, so often we allow ourselves to be defined by what some say. We allow ourselves to live up to those labels. We know that, don't they? You know, these days are the great label days, aren't they? You know, we send kids to school and they come home with a label. I'm ADHD, or I'm ABCD, or I'm, you know, we love labels. And people come to me all the time and go, I need a label. I'm like, no, you need a life. You don't need a label. You need to learn how to live within your own person, within your own personality. You need to connect with what's going on in your own head. You don't need labels. We just need them so the government will pay some more money for people to learn in the way that they need to learn. But God doesn't give us a label. He doesn't define us by one trait. He made us complete. He made us different. You know, we have twins. Some of you know that we have twin granddaughters and they're identical. And when they were little, born, when they're newborn, my daughter was so frightened of getting them mixed up that she painted one with purple toenails and one with pink toenails so that she could tell them apart. But she quickly realised that she could tell them apart anyway, because although they look the same, they're so different. But they had an older little brother who wasn't much older than them, and when people would get them mixed up, he'd go, "No, that's the pink one." So he identified them as the pink one or the purple one and was very protective about them. You know, we often allow ourselves to be defined by what some say. You know, and some people have been through things in their life that define them, or they live to that define. Some people have been through abuse, and that abuse becomes who they are. And they get stuck in that terrible place because some awful person did some terrible things to them. And so they are defined as the victim, or the person that can't, the person that's stuck. Some people are really compliant. You know those good little kids, and they're good. Maybe you were one of these kids. It's not a story I hear my mother telling about me, but some kids are good, and you know they do everything. They please everyone, and then they're defined by that. They're the good one, and so it's really hard for them sometimes because they feel like they have to be good all the time, and they're not quite sure if they do this. Is that good or not good? You know, we can be defined by that. When I was a kid, I was apparently, I really don't think this is true, but my mum tells all these stories, and so do my aunties, that I was a bit naughty, a bit mischievous. And as I grew up, I wasn't. And as you can tell now, I'm not. I'm good. But anyway, you know, it took a long time for my aunties and my mum to be able to see that I wasn't that naughty, mischievous little child anymore. I actually could be good sometimes. You know, it was defined. I was the naughty kid in the family. And I think my sisters still think I am, and that's okay. But we can be defined by that. But I don't see myself like that anymore. I know that I can be good sometimes. We don't have to be defined by what some say. Who is God saying you are? Who is God saying you are? Who did God create you to be? You know, do you know who He created you to be? Are you confident in that? I just wonder if we can just pause just for a minute. Just for a minute. And we're going to have just 1 minute. I just would like you to just in the quietness of your own mind and heart, just close your eyes and just let's hear from God. Not some say, not what Leanne's saying, not my voice. Let's just hear from God. Who is God saying you are? What did you hear from God? Because God doesn't say negative stuff to us. Oh yeah, God tells us off sometimes, but God never says negative stuff to us. Because He didn't create junk. We've all heard that saying. God knows your heart. God doesn't see just what we see. God knows your heart. Jesus said to Peter, "So I tell you, Peter, and I will build my church on this rock. The power of death will not be able to defeat my church. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." When Peter stopped listening to some say, he had a life-altering time. Knowing who God was, knowing who God is life-altering. Do you know who Jesus is? When my back's against the wall, the girls were doing their beautiful movement to that song. When my back's against the wall, I'm the greatest. When my back's against the wall, I'm the star that shines. Why? Because when you know Jesus, that is life-altering. When you know who Jesus is, you know who you are. You know who you are. Who do you say Jesus is? Maybe you haven't had that time to explore. Maybe you've never felt like you could. Maybe your faith has been built on some say. Maybe you've never had that life-altering experience with who Jesus is. Maybe today's the day that you start exploring who God is, who Jesus is. Who do you say he is? Maybe you know who God is, but maybe you've been busy listening to lots of some say and you've forgotten to spend that time with God. You've forgotten to be in relationship with him. Maybe today's the day that you'll say, you know what? I've been listening to too much some say. I want to know who I say God is. And maybe you've been listening to what some say about who you are. Maybe today is the day that you say, I want to know who I am. I don't need the some say. I need what God says. If you heard God speak to you and say something to you in just our quiet little moment, maybe at different times in the service today, maybe when we were listening to that beautiful music and the girls were dancing, maybe when we were just having the fun in the family feud, maybe during some worship time, maybe during those clips, you know, where we saw how some mothers are. Who does God say you are? And who do you say God is? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because you are the amazing God. Lord, we have seen glimpses of who you are in creation and in other people and in the things that occur in our life. But Heavenly Father, today we know that you want to know who we say you are. That it's through our own personal confession of who you are, our own personal understanding of who you are, that our life is transformed and that we get to see who we are as well. Lord, you are the Almighty God, and we praise you and we thank you. And Lord, we pray that the things that we say will be the things that you want us to say. Lord, we praise you and honour you because you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has spoken to you today, if it is maybe the first time that you've thought about who God is, then as the worship team comes back, then I was just going to say come and sit on the front seats, but they're all full. If you're brave enough, if you're brave enough, come out, because we want to celebrate that journey with you. And these people in this church are amazing, and they want to do that journey with you. So if God has spoken to you today, then come. Don't just keep it to yourself. Get people around you who can journey with you and help you to find who God is saying he is, who you say he is. We have the music team back. Is that what we do? No? Okay.